Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome to your weekly wrap-up, proudly brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I'm your host, Gwena Mashale, and always I'm joined by my amazing colleague today, specifically one, Nandine Tini. Unfortunately, Herman Molloy is out sick for the week, guys. Prayers for him, Nandi, please greet.
Hi, guys.
So, new week, but the same mission still stands, guys. We are the youth of today, bringing you the latest news and the hottest topics on the week, right? And let's dive straight in, right? So I think the biggest thing of the week so far that actually took place yesterday, though, is the fact that there was a little bit of a disappointment from the president of South Africa yesterday in regards to the state of Gauteng. To just give a bit of a background, so the president came with his cabinet to Johannesburg, but specifically to do an oversight visit in Gauteng, in the fact that it's his fourth leg visit in regards to provincial visits. So he did in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and KwaZulu-Natal before. So today, so this was the fourth provincial visit in regards to the seventh administration, right? Seventh GNU. So yesterday he comes to the Gauteng to obviously speak about service delivery and intergovernmental coordinations. And he's speaking on the podium and he says the one thing that stood out to everyone was the fact that he says that I was here for one or two meetings for the G20, and I was utterly, it was not pleasant. It was not a pleasant environment to be in. Let's take a listen to that clip.
One or two meetings of the G20 that I attended here was not very pleasing. The environment that one observed was not a pleasing environment. I say this so that we can improve immensely. As South Africans, we are proud people. And let us get that pride that we have, self-pride, lift us up so that we do present a G20 that will wow people. So that when people look at what we offer and present, they must just say, wow, this is how South Africans do it.
I'm embarrassed. I was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. He did not say he was embarrassed.
Okay, he didn't say his words. No, I'm saying it on his behalf. His little words were, it was not a pleasant environment to be in. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know Ramaphosa is very polite. In the way he speaks, in everything he says, he puts it in a polite manner. But if we were to just, like, let's call it a brick or whatever the thing is. Let's call
a spade.
He was basically saying the state of Gauteng is disastrous. I was embarrassed when my delegation came. Because he says that sometimes he boasts about the country, you know. He was like, and even before he got there, he's like, let's make the state presentable, in a sense that when people come, when I go outside and talk to people about South Africa and they come, they must still feel that South Africa that I was talking about. He even references about African tradition and about mm-hmm. how when somebody comes to your home, you know, you clean up nyana, you know.
They always do that, but it doesn't stay like that in Joburg. That's the problem. The only time they fix Joburg up, it's when we have a big rugby match. It's when we have these big things. And the biggest thing that we had, 2010, everyone was out and doing their job.
They cleaned.
But one thing about our president, he lives too far from us.
Nandi, he doesn't live too far. He lives right here.
I'm not saying... not his house. I'm saying like him being part of what we go through. Him saying that he's shocked at what he saw in Joburg.
It's a lie.
For a president, South African president, how many years? Joburg has been like this. It's been like, and for the fact that they say let's fix the city because we have such and such things, they know that the city is a mess.
It's bad. It's very bad. So obviously, after the whole thing, the media was kicked out.
Yes, they don't want you to hear
the council meetings. So the media was kicked out for a few moments. Obviously, after that, they came out, and Ramaphosa quickly scurried away. I mean, but the premier and also the minister of Kokta, Vilenkosi, I think I'm saying it.
Oh, Hlabisa.
Yes. Ubelinkosi is basically just gave a few briefings on what was happening, right? So the premier says the meeting went well with Ramaphosa. They are now going full ahead and the ball start rolling to clean the city up. And he mentions that this was also part, obviously, this in the meeting, they were discussing the G13 problems. Obviously, the G13 problems, we all know what those are. Water, electricity, potholes, traffic lights, right? So he then goes on to say, so now obviously it's a time for, after briefing us, we ask, it's time to ask questions. So I ask him, well, what did you think of what the president had to say? He says, well, you know what the problem is. I love when politicians start with, you know the problem is. You can definitely see that they're not going to take accountability.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about to be something of, let's turn it around and let's make it sure that you understand what we're trying to kind of say, but also we're sugarcoating the fact that we definitely know something was wrong, but we're not going to say it. So he says, no, it's a matter of, we were not in control of the location where the meetings were being held. So it was definitely out of our control. And I think the premier completely lost sight of what the president was saying. But let's take a listen to what the premier had to say on that.
No, we are ready for the G20. The problem is that when you remember BRICS was here, there were restrictions in which they were imposed. The things that you couldn't do, either as a province or local authority. Because it was regarded as an international platform that must be managed at international level. And we were looking forward mainly to the G20 itself. But when these sessions were arranged, the venue that was chosen as well, which is Nazareth, is privately owned. So our intervention on it, you are limited to attend to it. But now that we've discussed it, we know the areas that we need to improve. And I committed on behalf of government and local government that was here that will not have the situation that the president has identified. We've already put a team. If you check there, we've already put CCTV cameras. We've agreed with the joint team between ourselves and the mayors to deal with this issue. But we're not dealing with this issue specifically for G20. We need a legacy program that can be enjoyed by all South Africans. And that's the approach and the orientation that we are taking. But I apologize to the president he had that particular experience, and we felt that we'll identify venues for other meetings and we'll identify areas the way we believe that they can leave a lasting legacy and a lasting impression to those that will be visiting our country. Grass must be cut. It's not an excuse that the road must be perfect. It's not an excuse that traffic lights must function. And that is why we've identified them as the province, as G13 problems. And we've put the necessary resources. When the MEC responsible for finance, after the national budget has been presented, you will see our intervention program. It was just unfortunate that those incidents happened before we put our G13 processes to deal with those challenges. But it's not an excuse. I must emphasize that. The problem was that the planning teams that plan for these events, there was a huge miscommunication. What is it can be done by provinces and local government? What is it that can be done by national government? But in this meeting, there's a clear line on how we're going to cooperate and work together.
So I think just to summarize what he says that where the president was having the meetings, which was in Nazareth, apparently they couldn't do the necessary things they did because it was a private-owned property. Mm-hmm. And he says there's only such authority that the government and the local government can have to a certain extent. So they could not even cut the grass. They could not clean up properly. Last-minute things. Whereas if you do the things every day, you don't have to run around like a headless chicken.
When you do maintenance every month, every week, you know exactly you are ready for everything.
Exactly, Nandi. So now imagine we are here and he's saying that, you know what, it was out of our control, but we will be better. Mm-hmm. We will be better by November. Everything will be in tip-top shape. So now, obviously, other people now are asking that. But here's the thing, Premier. You guys are making it seem you guys are only cleaning up only for the G20. And obviously, apparently, Adada Morero, the Joburg mayor, he made assumptions, not even made assumptions. He said that they will be cleaning up for the G20.
They always say that. Exactly. They are straight up. We're cleaning up for this G20.
And so now the premier says that, no, we're not doing that. We're not focusing on that. He says it's bad word. He says we're not focusing on the G20. It's just a matter of we are doing it for the benefit of all South Africans, of all the people. It's just that we also want to make an impression. That then when they come to South Africa and they leave, they want to still come back. But it's a question of, but will you guys be able to even maintain it after when they decide to come back? Will you guys still continue to still do the job?
I will not do that. I just hate the fact that always they say we're doing it for the masses of people. But actually, they know that they're doing it for the G20.
They're doing it for the
G20. And after that, everything will go back to normal. And luckily, NASREC is a private owned. So they have those events over there. And also, I was listening to Newsroom Africa this morning. The mayor of Cape Town is not happy with the fact that the GNU will be held in NASREC. He thinks the infrastructure or the setting is not in good place and suggests that. And honestly, I felt like, please give Joburg a chance? But why does he have to say Cape Town is the best place to hold this GNU?
Nandi, here's my chat. So the mayor says that they would prefer to have had it in Cape Town, right? But my thing is that from the airport, where do people go through? The people have to go through the township, the horrible township that you are not servicing, to first go to get to this lovely venue. So you want people to go through that and see the effect that you're not running it properly. And this thing, and you know a lot of people will be saying this argument of saying, because I've heard one girl actually say that it's a matter of services. There are services that are being held in Khayelitsha. There are being services that are being held in these local, in these informal settlements. But guys, we are not seeing it.
We are not seeing anything.
We are not seeing them. And the thing is that as much as I feel like there's, you know that thing where somebody says, they don't clean, they don't do. What about your house? What about your house? I think before you want to comment, that's why have you seen an Ekurhuleni mayor talk about Joburg?
Nothing.
Have you seen an Ekurhuleni mayor
about Tshwane? They know exactly what's going on. You're looking at your.
Have you seen?
Focus on your own house.
Focus on your own house. And then I must say, I love the Ekurhuleni mayor. He's very quiet.
I've never heard him speak.
I've never heard him complain about Joburg. I've never heard him say, yeah, but in Joburg, they're doing horrible. No, sir, they don't do that. You know what's happening in your own home. Clean your own home first before you go and talk about other people's homes. But anyway, let's move on. So guys, the Jocelyn Smith case, guys, the trial is still continues and it's such a devastating thing. So allegedly, the residents around basically Jocelyn's home are not happy. So they went to Jocelyn's, the shack in which Jocelyn's mother was living with at, and basically went there to practically tell her, brah, where's the kid? Where is the child?
And they were so emotional. This one lady was just crying out. The sad thing is that this child is looking for her mother and not us who are so concerned about her. Where else the mother is just, okay, I'm finding my way. What's going on?
I guess she's a drug addict.
Like, that's the sad thing that she was saying, that this child is asking, Mama, can you come get me? Where are you? Where else the mother?
It's
full on your disappearance, kid.
Yeah, guys. And it's so sad, hey?
It is.
So sad because it links back to it's the same thing, similar situation with the Kinelwe one.
Yes.
Because it's like you have your kids look up to you, man, essentially. You know, your kids look at you for protection. They look at you for, like, literally, you are a parent, you are a mama bear, you know? So now, you don't even care where your kid is. All you know is, all you care about is the fact that there's pocket in your, there's change in your pocket, and you're getting high. And you are enjoying it. And you don't even care about the fact that there are millions of South Africans calling for the safety of Jocelyn, calling for the safety of Ukinelwe.
And you're just
there. I don't know.
The police not been there yesterday?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, we're going to see a body. Hey? Guys, let me tell you something about the South African community. South African community, they will deal with you accordingly. There are even some communities that are kinder, hey? They will beat you up, but they won't kill you. Then there are those communities where they're like, they're heartful of you now.
Yeah.
And I think in the Jocelyn case, the community there is very heartful. Because I think what makes it even worse is the fact that you don't even seem to be remorseful.
She looks okay.
You don't seem to be remorseful. You go to court. After court, you go back home. And you then get high. I'm sorry, but the fact that this woman still does drugs is just bothers me so much as well. Like, ma'am. Also, what happened to Mackenzie's promise to donate to Jocelyn Foundation or something like that?
Quena.
But we'll leave it, okay? We'll come back to it. Because they were questioning him. Remember, I think, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago? When they were questioning on his funding. He promised to fund all these other places, remember?
Our politicians just speak. They salary. Know exactly how to speak and which words to use. And that and it ends there. It ends just there.
But let's move on, guys. So let's do quick crime stories, right? So Unandi covered a story of a tragic bus crash. There's more. I feel like these days, this year, there's been a lot of tragic crashes. Mm-hmm. Hey, mm-hmm. I think remember the one with the eight family members.
Yeah.
Guys,
gone,
all of them gone. When I tell you guys, when I was reading this story, I was like, yo, because it's the mother, it's the grandfather, the grandmother, the grandchildren, three grandchildren died. And then their colleague, the colleague's wife, and their 2-year-old child,
sure.
All gone in the crash.
And earlier this year also, was it the one in KZN?
Mm.
Was it 18?
Yeah, yes, 18 people gone. Yeah. Guys, what's going on, eh? What's going on? But Nandi covered a story, guys, of a tragic bus crash on the N6 between Reddersburg and Smithfield in the Free State that resulted in 10 fatalities and over 20 injured. Nandi, what did the emergency people say?
So the emergency people, I don't think they've released any much information, but they just stated that the families will be assisted going forward, like they usually say, obviously. But nothing major as to who are these. And the thing is, these two drivers are still alive.
Yeah. You see those type, because those type of situations. I don't know. For some reason, for me, I'll just always be angry. How did you survive? And the rest of us are dying. It's the same thing with taxi drivers, hey? Majority of taxi accidents, the taxi drivers are always alive. The rest of us are dead. It's just honestly sad, right? And then recently, guys, oh my gosh, we wake up to news of a shooting accident in Sandton. It's not even an accident, a shooting incident in Sandton. It seemed like somebody just woke up and said, I'm going to go rain bullets on people. And the motive, apparently, according to the police, is still unclear. Unknown. Mm-hmm.
And also, I like what Brenda in the morning mentioned that one of the deceased, he was involved in a murder case last year, January. So him and his two bodyguards, so he was an attempted murder, and then the same as his two bodyguards, those that were shot last night. So I just, it's tricky. Yeah. In the same incident, the restaurant shooting in Sandton as well. Last year, January.
You're joking.
I'm not gonna.
Oh my gosh, guys. Wow.
So it could be something
payback.
Personal. Yeah.
A payback, an AKA situation. I'm so sorry to bring that man in. Shame, hey?
Gwenda.
But anyway, let's move on. Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, right? Basically says that, you know what? We don't care about the USA. They can take their funds.
Trump needs people who are like him, who have the same sense of humor like him, who will meet him at his level.
Obviously. So basically, Motsoaledi was in parliament and saying that they will make the funds up and they don't need the USA. Let's take a listen to that.
Trump doesn't owe us any cent. Trump doesn't owe South Africa any cent whatsoever. And for that reason, we need to stand on our own. We must not waste this crisis. For that reason, Honorable Malema, I am challenging this House. Can we call a debate to come a debate and debate in this House? Why? All of us here, including all well-to-do South Africans who are on medical aid, why are we still getting heavy subsidies to stay on private medical aid? Is it fair? Should we be doing that during this difficult moment? In my language, the literal translation means during tough times, children of the same mother can survive by sharing a head of a locust.
So obviously, this is after Trump basically comes to announce that he's not funding the USAID thing anymore. He's tired, apparently, of us abusing the US funds. And Musalizi says that we're going to raise the $440 million. Mm. That is the budget shortfall from the, obviously, program. And this is mostly specifically focused on the HIV anti-treatment program, guys. And you know, we all know how HIV in Africa is kind of bad. It's really, really bad. So, and what's funny is that Mutualidi went on, as well as Unzimandi, Blade Nzimandi, I think even when he was at the Education Lokhwatla, they mentioned how they were literally close, guys. They were like tip-top close to getting vaccinations, the vaccine treatment for the HIV. Mm-hmm. And even when we're speaking to the health experts, the people who are in regards to these organizations, they're like, we were so close, guys. Clinical treatments were about to start. Everything, now everything is stopping. We have to stop
Americans
everything.
Do that, yo.
My thing is that they make it seem as if HIV is only prone in Africa.
Yeah.
As if USA, there's no HIV. And there's HIV there. If anything, I feel like it started there. I might be wrong on that one, but I'm just saying that they make it seem as if most of these illnesses are prone are not in USA. So now you see somebody happy. But also my thing is that also South Africans bore me. You guys don't read. You know, but you have South Africans, Nani, they don't read. So now when you hear somebody saying, you hear Donald Trump saying US aid fund is cut for HIV treatment in the country, right? I'm telling you, probably go to Twitter, ne? You see people, you can see crime. South Africans matter, we don't read. It's not only the grade threes that struggle to read. We also don't read. Because what do you mean? Why are you happy that the USA funding has been cut?
I don't understand.
They don't understand. That's like they don't understand. So now you go and say, oh no, the people, the companies that were on the list are mostly white owned. I'm like, no.
It's not even about that, guys. Stop it.
I was so disappointed. I've never been disappointed in my fellow South Africans in such a long time. Because I'm like, do you know those quote and unquote white companies? Do they know they actually treat majority of black people? Well, okay, we're not gonna racialize it. But like, guys, let's go to the Vits Clinic. Let's go to the Vits Clinic. I think 2 weeks ago we did an episode where we spoke about how our colleague Jeanette went there. And she spoke to people who are relying on these HIV treatments. And it's a mixture of race. It's not only white people. So my thing is that when you have now South Africans who are clapping hands for the fact that yay, white people are not getting money. Man, like, it's not that. It's not even that.
You're missing the point.
You are missing the entire point. You are missing the entire point. But you know what, ne? Please, guys, don't be angry if the grade threes can't read. If you yourself can't even pick up a book. But let's move on. No, man, reading, guys. Let's read, please. And you can actually see it now. South Africans, we don't read, guys. You like just seeing something on Twitter, then you pass through. You are so quick to comment without reading. Read the whole thing. But Nandi, do you have any thoughts on the USAID?
Honestly, I don't. I just like the fact that we are not, what's this, begging to Trump at this point or giving in to what he's doing. Yeah.
No, Shem, I think we're done. South Africa is done.
Yeah.
Is done begging for now. But let's do this, guys. Let's continue. So, final thing on our talking list.
Bye.
Hey, this one I think keeps just, if anything, I feel like this could be avoided if people just pay their tax.
It's as simple as that.
Pay your tax. Meh? This is a reminder. If you have tax missing, go pay your tax. So, obviously, the potential buyers of the Royal AM, I think we all know who owns Royal AM, will need 65 million rand per month to run the club. This is according to financial reports, right? So, the club is in so much debt. Let's just first start. Ne? Who owns the club, Nandi?
Sean Mkhize.
Sean Mkhize, guys, Sean Mkhize, right?
Our very old Sean Mkhize. I didn't kiss it, but she could have avoided this.
She could have avoided it.
She could have. Yeah, is it because maybe they They are so stingy. Like, they want to...
I don't even understand it. What is it with celebrities and not paying tax?
It's always the case. And
like, how do you avoid...
I'm supposed to feel sorry for her now.
I don't know. I'm not feeling sorry for her.
You have done the line. She'll be asking for donations.
You're not doing it. Ahead in day. Don't start. But my point is that, guys, let's just be frank, guys. I think celebrities, I don't know, is it that I think they get so caught up in the fact that, oh yeah, I have money, what, that they forget that they have also responsibilities. And the thing is, the more money you have, the more SARS wants money. The more SARS wants it. So if you're not even paying.
We
are the low class, true.
Yeah,
we don't have money.
We don't have money, but
We still pay taxes. We must pay taxes. So now here's the funny part is that, like, literally the club's debt, including the 15 million owned to the former player, Usamir, is significantly increased the financial burden, right? So now, obviously, it's going to go on sale. There's going to be bids. So the bids to take over the club will open on next Friday, which is next week. And with a 1 million rand deposit required. Where people get the kind of money. So obviously, the successful bidder will be announced on March 17th. First of all, don't open a soccer club if you're not going to be playing tax man.
And how do you open a soccer club?
Yeah,
she was doing it for vibes and just for attention. She, I don't think she was knowledgeable enough to know how to run a club.
She must be knowledgeable enough, Nandi, to know how to run a club. Because, no, Nandi, you can't be saying you don't know how to run a club. And then you... But then again, who am I talking about? Remember, who else owned a club and then it went sideways? I forgot the person's name. But that person also owned a club and it went sideways. But guys, pay your taxes. SARS is on board with you. And SARS comes after you, And what I like about SARS is that SARS, it doesn't tell you right away that you owe
them money. It doesn't tell you right away. It waits for you to actually...
It will
and
accumulate.
When you think you're most comfortable, exactly. They come for you.
It will accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. And next thing you know, ba-bam. Hey, you owe us 300 million. Where is it, Baba?
I mean, I just feel sorry for the players. Yo, it's very bad.
So, guys, just to wrap up a few, obviously, other topics that I see that we still have a few more minutes. Just to wrap up a few things that happened also this week, right? So, EFF, I think over the weekend, last weekend, they announced, they basically kind of spoke on the whole student debt cancellation budget thing, right? Not the budget, sorry, bill, right? And it was a topic of discussion in regards to the fact that how is the government going to kind of cancel all the debt? Because it's a lot of debt, guys. It's a lot of debt. So for us, for now, this bill coming forward and the possible, obviously, I think it's in the public talks now. It's out for public commentary. How is it going? Also, guys, when they say public comment, not on socials, not on the socials, comment, guys, submit your papers and your things, because then you can't come out and complain afterwards once the thing is already done and passed and you march on the streets. This is how government bills are passed. They get, when they say public comment, you go and submit your things. That's why you guys get angry when most majority of the NGOs get away with their things, because they submit. They submit. You don't submit. And you're sitting at home, instead you're crying on Twitter. But anyway, let's move on. Point is, how is the government going to cancel all of this thing? Is it even going to be possible? Considering the fact that the government doesn't even have money.
We don't have money.
Oh my gosh, Nandi.
South Africa, we don't have a budget for anything.
We don't have a budget for anything.
Anything. Rahima Musa and Charlotte Matlake did not have gas since, I think, for 6 days until the gas company came and said, okay, we had talks. We don't have money in South Africa.
And
we
are facing
real problems. We don't have money.
But it is what it is, man.
How about Sean should pay their tax, man? They should meet at the point.
But anyway, guys, so that's it for this week's news episode. Guys, obviously, you know what to do. Remember that you can find us on our latest podcast. Review and subscribe for free on Oyono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, The Indigenous Corner with Gogo Zippo, and Deeply Rooted. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the bigger stories from me, Gwena, and my colleague, Nandi. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.